Today, the latest on building approvals. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The ABS released their May 2019 building approvals today. The trend estimate for total approvals fell 0.5% in May, while the less reliable seasonally adjusted estimate for total dwelling approvals rose 0.7%. As you know, DFA uses the trend series in our analysis and modelling. However, most reports will pick the seasonally adjusted series and claim a rebound in approvals. In fact, on both trend and seasonally adjusted measures, private sector house approvals fell by 1.3% in trend terms and 0.3% in seasonally adjusted terms. On the other hand, private sector dwellings excluding houses rose 0.6% in trend terms, while the seasonally adjusted estimate rose 1.2%. Across the states, total approvals rose a little in Queensland and South Australia, together with a big hike in Canberra, though on small volumes, while there was a percentage fall in New South Wales and Victoria, as well as Western Australia and the Northern Territories. The volume trends really highlight the declines in New South Wales and Victoria, which are not offsetting the smaller rises elsewhere, especially in the ACT. In New South Wales, the trend estimate for the total number of dwelling units approved fell 0.7% in May, while the number of private sector houses fell 2.9%. In Victoria, the trend estimate for the total number of dwelling units approved fell 1.5% in May, while the number of private sector houses fell 1.3%. In Queensland, the trend estimate for the number of dwelling units approved rose 0.5% in May, while the number of private sector houses fell 0.1% in May. And in South Australia, the trend estimate for the total number of dwelling units approved rose 0.4% in May, while the number of private sector houses was flat. Finally, in Western Australia, the trend estimate for the total number of dwelling units approved fell 0.7% in May, and the number of private sector houses fell 0.7%. And the trend estimate of the value of total building approved fell 0.2% in May, and has fallen for 3 months. And the value of residential buildings fell 0.6% and has fallen for 16 months, while the value of non-residential buildings rose 0.3%, and has risen for 9 months. So on this data, the HIA said that the decline in dwelling approvals appears to be losing momentum. This is a welcome reprieve for the housing industry after the persistent declines measured through 2018. And they went on to say that recent positive news relating to house prices and new home sales have started filtering through. Even if this isn't the bottom of the cycle, the pickup in new home sales in May suggests the pace of decline is slowing. And Westpac said overall the May update was a touch firmer than expected, but the detail was not great, with clear questions around the sustainability of the gain in high-rise approvals and weaknesses elsewhere. That is, I think, closer to the mark. There's little here yet to argue for a shift in gears. As Westpac put it, all of this still predates several positive developments for housing, in particular the federal election result, which has removed the threat of tax policy changes around negative gearing and capital gains tax, and the RBA's interest rate cuts in June and July. More timely market measures suggest wider housing market conditions have improved, especially in Sydney and Melbourne. We suspect that shift will be slow to flow through to new dwelling construction, with an overhang of stock in some segments and financing issues likely to continue restraining activity near term. Certainly, the major markets of Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane have a way to go before we can claim a rebound. And of course, there is a significant oversupply of new high-rise under construction in these centres, despite the worries about construction standards and the disappearing indemnity insurance in the sector. as the ABC reported, to be a registered surveyor with the Victorian Building Authority, a person must have professional indemnity insurance without any exceptions. The same rules apply in New South Wales and Queensland, but insurance companies are no longer providing this option, and the industry is warning work on buildings may simply stop. Other surveyors have reported that the cost of their insurance premiums and excesses have more than quadrupled. Building surveyors are responsible for signing off buildings, including building permits and occupancy permits. While local government building surveyors can also sign off on permits, private building surveyors have been the preferred option for most of the building industry. And the chief executive of the Australian Institute of Building Surveyors, Brett Mace, warned the building industry could start to slow down over the next year. "We think it's a huge crisis," Mr. May said. "If building surveyors are unable to be registered, then you're not going to be able to provide approvals, and the construction industry will come to a stop." And the Master Builders Association said up to 30% of building surveyors are required to renew their insurance by the end of June. If they're unable to obtain insurance, or the insurance offered to them is non-compliant due to exclusions being imposed, many building projects could come to a standstill, the MBA said in a statement. And I think this is just one more reason to be cautious about the lift in approvals ahead. So standing back, today's data really has little on the upside and highlights again the continuing risks in the property sector ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll talk to you again next time.